Good, 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 good. The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. I count it a privilege and an honor to be able to stand before you this morning and bring forth the word. Amen? And so I want to send a shout out to our Facebook family and our Zoom family. I always say thank you, thank you, thank you for participating and being part of our worship service. You have made our service just that much better by tuning in online. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you, thank you, thank you. You make our ministry, our great ministry, the New Season Nation ministry, a success because you are participating with us online. Amen? Amen. There is a word from the Lord. There's a word from the Lord. Amen? If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to John chapter 15? John chapter 15. Verses 5. Now, it's normally our custom that we stand when we read the word. So even if you're on Zoom, even if you're on Facebook Live and you're in your home, we'd ask that you stand. Now, if you're driving, don't stand, okay? I will read for you if you're driving, amen? And the word of God says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, if you stay in me, if you progress in me, if you endure in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen? You may be seated. The thought for this morning is a fruitful connection. A fruitful connection. Now, when you look at this particular passage of Scripture, you can almost do a series just on this passage. You can talk about Jesus as the vine. You can talk about us as the branches. You can talk about the fruit that we bear. You can also talk about being apart from Him. And so there are so many things that we can talk about in this particular passage of Scripture. But this morning, I want to focus on remaining in Him. Remaining in Him. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, it's really a promise, right? Jesus says that if you remain in me, you will bear not just fruit, but much fruit. And we know that the promises of God are yea and amen. But we also know that the promises of God are conditional. And so you have to meet the condition to get the promise. And so I want to focus on meeting the condition, because if we meet the condition, the promise is going to follow. Amen? And that we would bear much fruit. And so if we look at this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus is using a pictorial parable to describe a spiritual truth. Sometimes an illustration says 1,000 words. You know, I only went to the third grade, right? So if you put it in a picture, I'll get it. And so what Jesus is doing right now, like I said, is he's using an illustration to describe a spiritual truth. And so Jesus describes himself as the vine. Would you close your eyes for a second and just imagine or picture a vine? And when you look at that vine, it is the source of the branches. Think about the water that goes through the vine. Think about the nutrients that goes through the vine to provide the branches everything that it needs to grow and develop and produce. And so when we look at Jesus as the vine from a spiritual perspective, without him, there's no spiritual development, there's no spiritual growth, and there's no spiritual production apart from him. Amen? Keep your eyes closed just for a little while longer. Now, picture being disconnected from the vine. Open your eyes. Here's a rhetorical question. Have you ever seen a branch produce fruit disconnected from the vine? Have you ever seen a branch produce fruit disconnected from the vine? Amen? Here's a side note. If we go back to verse 1, Jesus says that I am the true vine. He says, I'm the true vine, which gives me an indication that we can find ourselves remaining in or abiding in something that's not true. Amen? And so the Greek word for true vine is that which is genuine. And that's a stark contrast from that which is counterfeit, or that which is imaginary, or that which is an imposter or unreal. And so we have to be careful that we don't find ourselves abiding in things that is not Christ. You know, right now we're dealing with this thing with culture and race and politics. And there's nothing wrong with culture and race and politics, but we have to remember it's Christ before politics. It's Christ over culture. It's Christ over race and nationalism. Amen? And so it's not the politics that drives the believer. It's the believer that drives the politics. Amen? And so we have to understand that it is Christ first. And a lot of times we get caught up in the politics. I know people who are more Republican than they are Christian. I know people who are more Democrat than they are Christian. And so when you look at these things, again, I'm not saying that they're bad, but we have to remember that it is Christ first. Amen? And another thing that we need to look at, before I say that, when you look at those things, again, I'm not saying that they're bad, right? But sometimes it's a form of godliness that lacks the power thereof. And so we get so intertwined in that, and then we wonder why we're not producing fruit. Now, I said I wasn't going to talk about a fruit, but that was a good segue to talk about the fruit thing, right? In order to produce fruit, we have to remain in Him. Amen? And so another thing that we have to be careful of is that we don't associate worldly success with spiritual fruitfulness. There are two different things. A lot of times we see people who have the nice cars. We see people who have the nice houses. They have the nice jobs. It looks like they got it going on. Their families are all together. But spiritually, they're disconnected. And so you have to remain in Him to be able to see that there's a worldly fruitfulness and there's a spiritual fruitfulness. And we can't get the two intertwined. Amen? Another thing that we got to think about is when we look at people who are truly connected and they are doing well in Christ, everybody wants your formula for success. You know, Miss D be doing real good, and everybody wants to know, man, Miss D, what are you doing so good that God is showing Himself strong in your life? I'll give you the answer. She remains in Him. We remain in Him. And so, you know, a lot of times we would tell people that we were doing so well in life because it was a result of our giving, right? We understand seed time and harvest. We understand the principles of giving. We understand the promises associated with seed time and harvest. And so there was a point in time where we were really on the mountaintop and everybody could see. And they was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I said, well, this is a byproduct of our giving. But when we sat down and we thought about it, it's more than that. It's more than that. It's because we were abiding in Him. We were abiding in Him. And part of the seed time and harvest and being obedient with our giving is part of abiding in Him. Amen? And so at the end of the day, we have to abide in Him, right? But as I say that, right, we dealt with trials and tribulations too. Because at one point we was on the mountaintop, But then we were in the valley low, right? But we still remained in him. And it's funny sometimes, right? Nobody wants to know the formula of your success when you're going through something, right? But let me tell you this. It was during those trials and those tribulations that we developed the most fruit. Amen? Because we remained in him. It allowed us to overcome the trial and the tribulation because we remained in him. I know it sounds like a broken record, right? But I'm going to keep saying, remain in him. We have to remain in him. Now, the question is, what does it look like to remain in him? What does that look like? What does it look like to have a fruitful connection? Can I spend the next few minutes talking about what a fruitful connection looks like? Okay, thank you. So a fruitful connection. When you look at somebody who has a fruitful connection, point one, they are connected to God. They are connected to God. And so the first thing that came to mind was the internet, right? In this technological, fast-paced age that we're in, the internet today is a necessity. It don't matter whether you're young, don't matter whether you're middle-aged, don't matter whether you're a little older, right? The internet is almost a necessity for us to operate. Now, years back, the internet was a luxury. But right now, in 2020, most people can't function if they're not connected to the internet. Think about all the people who are working online right now, doing teleworking. What happens when the network goes down? Production literally goes to zero, right? And some of us get mad because the network went down, right? Because we're connected to the internet. Have you guys heard of this thing, fear of being offline? FOBO, fear of being offline, right? You know, it's that separation anxiety that we feel when our phone is not right next to us. You know, we trip out when we're in a hotel and the Wi-Fi is not that good. We're constantly looking at Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, right? Because we feel that if we're not online, we're missing something. Ain't that crazy? You know, but we have to understand that the internet, again, allows us to almost do anything. Think about the capability that the internet has given us. The world has become smaller because of the internet, right? It allows us to talk to friends on the other side of the world, whether it's Zoom, right? Whether it's FaceTime, right? Whether we use Skype. We have the ability to connect with people through the internet. Think about work, right? We just talked about being able to telework. Officially, I haven't been to work since March. Why? Because we have the internet, and it allows me to do my job from home. Think about school. I can't tell you the last time I physically stepped on a campus. And many of you got your bachelor's degree. You've got your master's degree. Some of us even got our PhD without literally stepping foot on campus because of the internet. Think about business transactions. Now, I know some of y'all still write checks, right? But it's a lot of us in my generation. The man of God still writes checks, right? But I can't tell you the last time I wrote a check because I do all my transactions. I can't tell you the last time I walked into a bank because I do all my transactions through the internet, right? Anybody know what this is? Anybody know what this is? She said it's a modem, right? It's a router and a modem. Watch this. I don't care how good Verizon is. I don't care how good AT&T is. I don't care how good Spectrum is. You are not getting on the internet without a modem. The modem is the bridge that allows us to connect to the internet. Amen? And when I was thinking about this whole remaining in him, Jesus is the bridge that allows us to connect to God. The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, but by him. Amen. So he is our spiritual modem. And the only way that we'll be able to connect to God is with relationship with Jesus. Let me say that again. We have to have relationship with Jesus. And it's the catalyst for maintaining a strong connection and abiding in him. It's through that relationship that we communicate with God. It's through that relationship that we pray with God. It's through that relationship that we are in our word. It's through our that relationship that allows us to fast. It's through that relationship that allows us to hear what God is saying to us. But let me tell you something. When you look at a relationship, it requires something. It requires your time. It requires your time. And so a lot of us wonder why we're not developing fruit. I question whether you're spending quality time with Jesus. A lot of people wonder why we not developing fruit. I wonder if you're praying enough with Jesus. I wonder if you're fasting enough. Here it is. We want the benefits of having a relationship with Jesus, but we don't want to do the work. We don't want to spend the time with him. Let me give you an example. How many of y'all know Darcy and Nicole? Right? I think they are the newest newlyweds in the church. Hey, Darce. Hey, Nicole. How you guys doing? I am absolutely talking about y'all. But you guys know that Darcy love him some Nicole. And y'all know Darcy love her. Y'all know Nicole love her some Darcy, right? Now imagine this. Imagine if Darcy and Nicole only got to spend time with each other on Tuesday night from 7 to 8. And then they got to spend time again on Sunday from 10:15 to about 11:30. I think that would impact their relationship. Would you agree? Darcy, Nicole, would you agree? I think that would mess with y'all relationship time. Why? Because it's the time that you spend together that allows you to shape and mold that relationship. Think about it. We have 168 hours in a week, and we saying we can only spend 2.5 hours with God? Hold on. I'm talking about Darcy and Nicole, because some of y'all getting mad right now because I'm talking about this. Right? I'm talking about Darcy and Nicole. Now, just imagine if they only spent 2.5 hours with each other out of a week that has 168 hours. That's tough. That's tough. That's tough to deal with. It's hard to develop that relationship because they're not spending quality time with each other. And so if they're going to develop that relationship, because I don't want to be talking about y'all, right? I don't want to be talking about us. They have to make sure that they invest quality time with one another. Amen? And again, that's through prayer. That's through fasting. That's by being in the word. Watch this. You learn a lot by Jesus by being in his word, just like we learn a lot by each other by spending time with one another. The relationship that I have with Jessica has been an ongoing relationship. Watch this. I know what hurts her. She knows what hurts me. Because we've spent time with each other. Now imagine if you spend that time in the word. You know what hurts God. You know what makes him happy. And you can take the word of God and hide it in your heart so that you wouldn't sin against him. Amen? And so it's very important that we spend time with God. Going back to this internet thing, right? I'm going to talk about I'll give examples, right? Because I don't want y'all to be mad with me, right? God is not looking for an unstable connection. How many of us had an unstable connection when it came to our internet? Right? Why? In essence, God is not looking for a part-time lover. God is not looking for you to be two-timing on him. God is not looking for friends with benefits. He wants a stable connection. Amen? And then you guys know that with this whole modem thing and this router, your internet service provider actually charges you every month to use this. I didn't know that. Blew my mind. And so I had been talking to Mr. Ray Nix because I said I want a better internet connection. And so he started talking to me about, hey, man, you need to get a better modem. Well, I don't want to pay money for a better modem, right? But it cost to have a stronger connection. It cost to have better internet speed, right? But then when I looked at it, the money that I saved by not paying for this, in the long run, it pays itself off. And I have a stronger connection, and I have better internet speed. The same thing when it comes to Jesus. It cost us something, our time. But if we spend time with Jesus, in the long run, it works out in our favor, generally in much fruit. I said I wasn't going to talk about the fruit, but that was a good segue to talk about much fruit. Amen? And so it's very important that we have a relationship with God. I'm going to say one thing and I'm going to move on, right? When we're looking at, you know, you could have somebody who's a member of a church. You can have somebody who's connected to a man of God. You can actually have somebody who's working in the kingdom yet not have relationship with God. And that's very critical. Look at Matthew 7, 22 through 23. It says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, I don't know how it's going to be on that great day, right? But I do know there's a couple things that Jesus and God is going to say to us. One of those things are, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Or he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But many people are going to be saying in that day, man, I cast out demons in your name. You know how many people I healed in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And so it's very important that we have relationship through Jesus that allows us to connect with God. Amen? Point number two. You have to be connected to your man or your woman of God. And in this particular moment, our man of God. You have to be connected to your man of God or your priest. How about that? You have to be connected. Look at Jeremiah 3 and 15. Jeremiah 3 and 15 says, and I will give you pastors. This is in the King James Version. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God has supplied us with a man or a woman of God according to his heart. According to his heart. And the first thing it made me think about, because I heard heart, and it made me think of David. A man after God's own heart. And so listen to this. After removing Saul, he made David their king. And it said that God testified. The people didn't testify. God testified concerning David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I want him to do. And so David was so connected to God. God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do. You want me to go kill some Philistines? I'm going to do it. You want me to give you undignified praise? I'm going to do it. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it. But God has given us pastors, just like David, who have a heart after God. And they are willing to do any and everything to ensure that we are equipped and trained and instructed in righteousness. Does this sound familiar? We have a man of God who is uniquely qualified to instruct you in righteousness and set you up and with your purpose and propel you into your destiny. Does that sound familiar? I say that a lot because I understand the purpose of our man of God and how important he is to my spiritual journey, how important he is to our spiritual journey. And so it's of utmost importance that we are connected to the man of God. Do y'all realize that this man is a gift? He is a gift. Y'all think I'm crazy. Go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at 11 through 15 in the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Who was the church? Us. We are the church. And so these are the gifts that he gave. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Why did he give us these gifts? It talks about their responsibility in verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Does that sound familiar? We have a man of God who is uniquely qualified to equip us. Why? So that we could do the work and build up the church. Who is the church? Us. The body of Christ. Amen? This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God, God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Sounds like fully equipped in him, the theme for the ministry. And so we have this man of God who is here to equip us. So those people who are saying, oh, I don't need to be associated to a pastor, I just machine gunned through that thought process. Because the word God says that the man of God is given so that we may be equipped, that we may be able to stand firm in him. That's one of the responsibilities of the man of God. Amen? And if we looked at the man of God as a gift, we wouldn't treat him like we treat him. Come on, I said something like that. We would treat the man of God, because anybody who has a gift values the gift. You stop talking about the man of God behind his back. You support the vision that the man of God has. Amen? But in order to be able to support the vision that the man of God has, it requires you to be connected to him. Amen? Let me give you an example of what it means to support a vision. Look at Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. This is in the King James Version. It says this, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. And when you look at that passage of scripture, what are the two most important words in that passage of scripture? You don't have to think about it. I'm going to tell you. Vision and immediately. God gives vision to one man. And when that man casts vision, what he needs from us is some immediately. He needs us to immediately support him with our time, our talents, our gifts, so that that vision would come to fruition. Notice they didn't say, oh, I got to think about it. Oh, I got to pray about it. Immediately, they left with Paul. And so when the man of God cast vision, again, he needs some immediately from us to support the vision. Amen? Last point. So we know that we got to be connected to God through relationship with Jesus. We have to be connected to our man of God. Last point, we have to be connected to people. We have to be connected to people. I'm going to say it again. We have to be connected to people. George Gallup, he's a pollster. He's known for many of his polls and the statistics that he does. He made a very powerful statement. He said, Americans are among the loneliest people in the world. He didn't say people. He didn't say other countries. He specifically said, Americans are the loneliest people in the world. And as he surveyed Americans, he realized why they're so lonely. In the midst of busy lives, overcommitted schedules, bustling cities, for some reason we feel disconnected. For some reason we feel alone. For some reason we feel isolated. Yet we drive on overcrowded freeways. We sit in jam-packed airplanes. Well, we're really not sitting in jam-packed airplanes right now with this whole COVID thing going on, right? You know, we were sitting in jam-packed restaurants, right, before the whole COVID thing happened. Yet people still feel isolated, disconnected, and alone. Watch this. It's not for lack of having access to people. There's people everywhere. We go to work and we see people. We go to the mall, we see people. Watch this. We come to church and we see people. Yet we're isolated, disconnected, and alone. Why? Simple answer. We're not connected through relationship. We are not connected through meaningful relationship. Anybody know what this is? Anybody know what this is? It's a Lego. Come on, bring that box of Legos up, right? Look at this Lego. And so when you think about a Lego, what do Legos and people have in common? She said it. Connection. Legos are met. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. Go back down. Thank you. Legos are meant to be connected. A Lego by itself doesn't really have a purpose. A Lego is meant to be part of a bigger purpose. It's meant to build. It's meant to create structure. We're the same way. God has designed us for connection. God has designed us for relationship. But for some reason, we want to be isolated, disconnected, and alone. And when you look at the first couple of statements that God made as it relates to Adam, what did he say? It's not good for man to be alone. Because that's not how he designed us. He designed us for relationship. Now, I've heard people preach this real good, that there's a God void that only he can fill. I would say that there's a people void that only we can fill. The problem is we don't want to have relationship because I got hurt in my last relationship. You know, I got abused. I got misused. I was ostracized. So I don't want to have meaningful relationship with other people. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I raise my hand. I've been a victim of bad relationships. But at some point, I had to come to the realization that I had to move on because relationship with people is important. Here's another thing why we don't want to develop relationship, because we don't want to be transparent with one another, because we think that somebody's going to talk about us because we got something going on. Hey, newsflash, all of us got issues. All of us are dealing with things, but we're doing life together, and it's when we become transparent with each other, we really start to build relationship. Now, as I say that, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Everybody's not ready for your transparency. Everybody's not mature enough to handle your issues and your concerns and your situations. But I believe that if you would trust God, he would direct you to the person which you could connect with to start building and developing relationship. Connection is important. Let me tell you something. Minister Chandler, you have something that I need. I have something that you need. Darcy, you have something that Lady D needs. Lady D has something that Jessica needs. We are a body united as one. And in order for the body to grow and to be strong, it requires us to have relationship. Watch this. It reminds me of the scripture. How can you say that you love God who you've never seen, yet you hate your brother? How is it you say that you have relationship with God but won't have relationship with me? That's very powerful. And so if you say that you are truly connected to God, then you truly have to be connected to me. You can't have one without the other. Amen? And what happens when we're not connected, we just become a box of Legos instead of a connected set of Legos. And we're all together, but we're not connected. And we're just shaking and rubbing against each other. And so we shake together at the job. We shake together in the house. We shake together at church. But we never have true relationship with one another. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16. In the Amplified Version, it says, "For because of him, Christ, the whole body," who was the whole body? The church, "in all its various parts." I'm a part. Pastor's a part. Lewis is a part. Miss Lisa's a part. Mr. Franks is a part. Mr. Purcell's a part. Miss Annette is a part. We're all a part of this body. We're closely joined and firmly knit together. We are connected together by the joints and the ligaments with which it is supplied. When each part, Mr. Franks, come up here real quick. When each part with power adapted to his need is working properly in all its function, it grows to full maturity, building up itself in love. We need one another. Step back. We got a social distance, my brother. I want you to, can you get in push-up position? You all right, come on, God. I brought you up because you're strong. Please? Thank you, my brother. I'm trying to drive home this point. Okay, I know. I know you're not Darcy. If you get in push-up position, do one push-up. See, this is the body operating like God has it ordained. Now try and do a push-up with one arm. Yeah, see, you can't even try. So the point that I'm trying to drive, thank you, brother, is that when the body or the parts aren't doing what they're supposed to do, the whole body suffers. And it stops us from moving the kingdom of God. And so we have to understand how important each member is. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians 12 and 21, where it says, you know, the eye can't say to the foot, "I don't need you." The foot can't say to the eye that "I don't need you." We all need one another. We're all part of God's family. Amen? And so we need each other to survive. I think it was a song. And so we have to understand that we play a crucial part in the building of this body. Amen? And so when you look, and I'm closing. I think I said that. Had I said that yet? I'm closing? All right. I'm closing for real this time, right? Even if I didn't say it, right? When you look at a fruitful connection, right, it requires us to be connected to God in relationship. It requires us to be connected to our man of God. And it requires us to be connected to each other. It is so important that we understand and we grasp that concept. I think we're entering into a stage where there's a sick and dying world who needs to see men and women of God who are connected to God, who are connected to their man of God, and they're connected to each other. Watch this. We can't have impact in the world, and I'm talking to the church now, if we can't connect together in here. And what I like about it, when we are connected to God, when we're connected to the man God, when we're connected to each other, it allows us to gather, it allows us to grow, and it allows us to go. And I believe with this whole pandemic, there is a new type of people who want to see the power of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But they're going to see it through us. Jesus said that they would know us by our love, right? And as we remain in him, watch this whole gather, grow, go thing, it allows us to come together, we grow, and we develop in him, and then we go out, and people see, and they taste of the fruit that they see, and they taste that the Lord is good, and they want some of that. And so what we end up doing is we bring them back to the gathering, and then they grow, and then they go out, and then other people taste and see of the fruit that they've developed. It's a vicious cycle, but it requires us to be connected. Amen? We have to be connected. That's what a fruitful connection looks like. A fruitful connection looks like remaining in him by being connected to God, by being connected to your man of God, and by being connected to people. Amen? God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, as Minister Chandler comes up and opens up the doors of the church. Amen? Thank you.